But when you love someone and you're in a monogamous relationship and you're a human with feelings and emotions,
you get jealous.
You're going to get jealous.
Yeah. Hey, hotties. Happy Friday, or whatever day it is that you are listening to this episode. My name is Amanda. Today, I am sitting across from my beautiful co-host, Miss Cara R. Reedy, and welcome to the last Unprofessional Opinions of To Be Honest, the podcast. Hello, Cara.
Hello. What a moment. What a monumental occasion.
It's funny thinking about the first time we came up with the idea of doing Unprofessional Opinions, and like we thought, oh yeah, we'll just give it a go and see how it goes, and it's turned out to be like our most popular episodes by far. Like all of our top ranked episodes are Unprofessional Opinions.
Yeah,
so we love that. We love that you love these episodes, and really excited to get into our final one. We have some really good questions.
Yeah, we've got some juicy and long ones today.
Yes.
Which makes sense for our final episode. Like, we have to go out with a bang.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But first of all, we have to be honest for the final time in one of these episodes.
Yes.
What do you have to be honest about this week, Duck Dog?
So I have to be honest about the fact that I'm feeling really proud of myself in some way. And I think because we're getting to the end of doing the podcast, and this morning I was like looking at our last few episodes, when we have planned and stuff like that, I was really reflecting on like the people that we were at the beginning of this podcast and how we are now, right? We started this podcast in 2020.
Like, I think it was August 2020, yeah.
That's quite a long time. Like, that's like three whole years.
That's essentially 3 years, like, you know, give or take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'll get into in our final episode of the podcast the shit that's happened in these 3 years and all that kind of stuff. And but the one thing I did want to focus on is I'm really proud of the way that I feel like I have stepped into myself and more of who I am in the sense that, like, I'm a sporty lady, okay? And when I used to think about who I was in the Spice Girls, I used to think I was Baby Spice. But now I'm fully fathoming that I am Sporty Spice, you know? And I think we talked about this with our group of friends, like, being like, who's who? And, like, I could probably go for Ginger Spice also, but I think that like I take the cake for Sporty Spice.
Yeah,
you know,
especially in our group of friends for sure.
Yeah, and I'm like,
I mean, no one else plays sport. I mean, I play netball, but like, you know, barely.
Well, you're runner up. If it's not me, it's you.
Yeah, I'm definitely not Sporty Spice.
But it was just really nice to like think about the fact that, you know, I've really embraced the fact that I love watching sport, and like it's a big part of my weekends now, which I really, really like, and something that I've started to prioritize over the past couple of years. And, you know, it's something that I do, especially watching sport. It's literally just joy. There's nothing else. It's just the pleasure of doing so. And my like weekly ritual of watching certain games and having a cider and doing my whole thing, and I'm just feeling really good about that. So that's what I have to be honest about today.
Lovely.
What about you? What do you have to be honest about?
I have to be honest about the fact that I think I'm a country gal at heart.
See, this is the thing. I can always tell by the look on your face if you're about to say something that is a silly little bitch thing to say in a good way.
Well, and yeah, I wasn't taking offense. I am being a bit silly because I'm not a country girl. I've grown up in the suburbs like my whole life. But I spent, as we know, I spent like a week in like rural kind of country Victoria last week. I was house sitting for my family, and I was just like absolutely vibing the like thought of living on a property. Look, is it realistic with the property prices that currently exist? No. Unless I want to live like 500 million years away from anyone I know.
Yeah, I was going to say, my boyfriend was looking up blocks of land in Tassie because we both think it would be cool to live in Tassie one day. And it was like $100,000 for like this huge block of land. Then I look up where it is. I'm like, this is near fucking nothing.
Nothing.
Like,
yeah.
I would love to live in the country as well. But I'm like, I want to be an hour from the city.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think like, you know, if we were in a phase of our life, or like if it was realistic that we were going to have like a country house. Does people actually have country homes?
They do.
It's crazy.
Isn't it crazy? People, like, we don't have one house. People have two houses.
Literally.
Three houses. I mean, people have like 70
this
houses.
This is why the property market's fucked, really.
Yeah.
In a nutshell. But yeah, I completely agree, because like, you know, let's just say you wanted to truly get away and like money wasn't an object and you could just like buy a block of land, middle of nowhere, kind of would be a vibe, right? Yeah. But if you want to live there, it's like, what the fuck am I going to do out here? Like, yeah. when I do want to, like, go back to civilization, because for me it was, like, a week in the country was lovely, but it also was still, like, an hour from the city or a bit less. It, look, calling where I was country is, like, really on the cusp, but, like, it technically is.
So why do you think you're a country gal at heart?
Because I just fucked so hard with the fact that, like, I didn't see, like, any traffic the whole time. Like, one teeny tiny little main street. Like, there was just, like, not much going on.
Lovely.
And I think after the Gold Coast, especially, like, our area, the Gold Coast at the moment, it's under a lot of construction. And it's so, so busy. We're part of the problem. We understand that. We recognize it. But it's so busy. And so I think, like, having a week where you're just kind of, like, chilling was, like, lovely. And also just at the time of year, like, it was winter, like, the leaves were turning, like, beautiful, like, orange colors. It was, like, crisp, it was freezing mornings. It was just, like, a lovely vibe to be able to just, like, go out and be, like, amongst, like, trees and, like, you know, there's, like, no, like, houses nowhere in sight and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not realistic for me. I will be a suburb girl for much, much longer unless I win the lottery, but I just wanted to say that I think I have the potential to be a country girl.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love that. All right, let's get into the episode. We have a bunch of really fun questions to answer today. And our first one's a long one. Strap yourself in. You're about to hear my voice for a couple of minutes.
No, it won't take you a couple of minutes.
Didn't you hate in school? I was always a quick reader. Like, I could read really quickly. Still can. Slay. And I would hate when in class, in English class, different people had to read it out, and like, would, someone would be reading so slow. I was like, I've read this page three times over already. Were you like that too? I kind of feel like
I've been a quick reader, but like, I just didn't like reading in front of the class, like, with my own voice. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I hated, like, the anticipation of being called on and, like, not knowing when you're going to be called on.
Yeah.
Frightful.
Anyway, what are your thoughts on having a meaningful career? I always planned to have a career that did good in the world, thought I would go into nonprofits. I'm a teacher now and I absolutely love my job. I fully see that this is what I was born to do and I'm full of joy most days because of it. But with the teacher pay being so low in the US public schools, I'm realizing I may have to work at a private school to make it financially viable for me in the future. It just makes me a little bit sad because although I would be impacting kids' lives still, it wouldn't be like how I am now working in a low-income area and in public schools. Have you guys ever struggled to find jobs that feel purposeful in terms of changing the world and impacting people?
I actually love this question because I do relate to it to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a writer, I went into university being like, I'm going to be a journalist. And my, you know, my naivety was quickly shown to me because not only, you know, is journalism such a hard industry to get into and it's so, like, competitive and dying also, it's actually, like, it's just not as great as everyone makes it out to be. And then also on top of that, like, the ethics of it weren't as good as I thought. Like, you know, you think of, like, being a journalist, like, oh, I'm gonna write, like, these really great pieces, like, advocating for things and, like, bringing light to issues, but that's not what most journalists do. And now I'm not even in, like, I technically do write articles and stuff like that, but I work as a PR writer, so I'm not, like, a, you know, news journalist.
Yeah.
So I relate to this because I think, like, I definitely as a kid had this idea that I would be doing something super meaningful because I do have a lot of very, like, passionate opinions and thoughts on things. So that's how I relate to it. Do you relate to this at all?
Yeah, I do. Because I recently have been thinking a lot about the fact that, like, I was actually talking to my boyfriend last week being like, I just feel like what I'm doing isn't making any impact, like, at all. And he was like, well, it is. And I was like, I feel this desire to be, like, doing more in the sense of, like, impacting people in a better way or something like that, or changing the world more, right? And I think it's interesting because especially people who are, like, super empathetic and people who feel a lot about things going on in the world want to be able to direct their energy towards, you know, social causes or whatever, or working in non-for-profits and stuff like that. However, the reality is that it's not the reality because, like, we all, unfortunately, do have to work.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But, like, we do have to work. We do need to make an income, and it's not possible for everyone to be doing something that is changing the world, if that makes sense. Like, at least in today's society.
Yeah, well, I mean, if everyone was doing something that was changing the world would be changed.
Yes.
And we wouldn't need to be doing things that were changing the world.
Yes, well, you're right.
Like, you're completely right. And I do think, like, as I've gotten older, you know, I've kind of seen this, you know, it's a very lovely thought, right?
Mm.
To want, and it's, and for some people do genuinely work in very meaningful, very powerful jobs where they are making like active differences every day.
Mm.
But for example, like, I think we look at different things, differently because, like, for example, like nurses and like teachers, like, they definitely are helping, but then, you know, this person's whole issue is like, do I go into private teaching because I literally can't really afford to be in public school? And the thing is like, within the world that we're in, the unfortunate reality is that while, like, you know, as like a group we can make an impact, you are one person in this scenario. And as one person, I would say if you are struggling to like live on a lower salary, going to a private school is totally okay. And like, you know, you can still make a difference. Like, you know, what if there's private schools that do scholarships for, like, you know, underprivileged kids or kids from like lower socioeconomic areas? Like, you can still like make differences within that. And then I also think that with like financial freedom and stuff like that, or even just like better work-life balance or less stress in general, there comes more capacity to do things that help in other ways. Like,
yes,
maybe you can volunteer once a week or once a fortnight. You know, there's just, there's like a million ways that we can make a difference, even if it's the tiniest difference, than through our work. And I understand this idea that work is like the biggest thing because it's the biggest thing in our lives. We've been taught that it's the biggest thing in our lives. But I think if we look at it outside of that, there's like little things we can do every single day that make a change. It's just, it feels heavier because like the world is heavy. And if you're empathetic to that, like if this person seems like they are, it can feel like it's not enough.
Yeah, for sure. And I think what you're saying is right about the fact that with financial freedom, a lot of the time does come a lower stress level and does come the ability to feel like you have the capacity to take on more. And I've thought about this myself with, like, you know, community sporting groups and stuff like that, and how you can have a real impact on children's lives in that way. And just like in general, there are a lot of ways that you can have a positive impact in whichever way you feel like you want to be having a positive impact. And like for me, for example, if I got to the point where I was more financially free, I'd probably feel ethically a lot better because I might have time or money to donate to animal sanctuaries and stuff like that, which would be in alignment with like my core values. But the reality of the situation is we live in a society where we have to make money in order to survive. And if we're not surviving, what good are we to any social causes, basically?
Exactly, so, yeah. I think overall our answer is, you know, this person has to do what they have to do to live, you know, a life that they feel comfortable financially, you know, emotionally. And, you know, like obviously that doesn't mean go and take a private school job if you're going to hate it. But if you're going to enjoy it and the money is better and you can live better and you can spend more time outside of it doing stuff, that could be a good, like, medium. And I don't think there's any shame in that at all.
Yeah.
Okay, so our next one is very short and sweet and simple. And many of you have been asking this, so we thought we better, like, better talk about it. What is your take on Joe, Taylor, Maddie Healy, etc.? So I'm going to be honest and start this off by saying, like, I honestly have kind of unsubscribed from this whole deal because, like, even though I am very interested in, like, you know, when Joe and Taylor broke up, I was like, holy shit, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And like, I'm interested in it from the music perspective, and I think I am kind of like tempted to delve into it. Like, I'm, especially the Maddie Healy side of it, I'm honestly quite disinterested. And I know that might sound really bad because, you know, if he's been said that he's said like a lot of, like, you know, awful things and everything like that, but I'm being honest, like, I haven't had the mental capacity to look in to what Maddie Healy has said and done. I know that people are really mad about it. So what do you think?
Yeah, I'm in a pretty similar boat, I would say. When Joe Alwyn and Taylor Swift broke up, first I was in denial.
Yeah, you were. You were like, I don't believe it until they confirm it.
Yeah. Now that it's confirmed, I feel like it's all kind of making sense to me as I, like, listen to her music and stuff like that. And also as I just see how her behavior has changed and things like that. And I feel like The most positive thing that we can take out of this experience is I feel like, as someone who does not know her personally in any capacity,
yeah,
and has simply been a fan of her music, that she seems a lot more herself now is the yeah. best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
Like,
well, she's kind of going back to certain things that have seen in the past that maybe yeah. seem like they're more naturally her.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. And with the Matty Healy stuff, I'm similar to you. Mm. I don't know a whole lot about him. I haven't, again, had the mental capacity to really, like, look into it and stuff like that. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. I think were you telling me this? Like, there's a lot of, like, kind of, like, social politics with the fact that apparently he said something about Ice Spice and now Ice Spice is collaborating with Taylor Swift and it's, like, a whole thing.
I'm kind of like exhausted by the conversation. Like, I feel like we are kind of going back to these conversations that we're having about Taylor Swift during 1989 era.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I'm older. Maybe it's because, like, I'm a little bit disillusioned with this idea that, like, of celebrity and, like, thinking that we know her, because we absolutely do not know her. We know a lot about her.
Yeah.
You know, I think that she is, you know, she has a lot of great qualities and I believe a lot of what she does, but we don't know her.
Yeah.
And I also think that goes for saying, like, you know, people who are really disappointed because she's dating Matty Healy, and that was, like, an open letter, I think, to Taylor Swift saying, like, stop dating him. This is going to be an unpopular opinion. The open letter to Matty Healy was very much like, you were disappointing your fans, stop dating him, like, you're doing this. And I understand that we need to take responsibility for, like, you know, if we're dating someone and they're doing things that are hurtful,
yeah,
that's going to inevitably come on us. Just the same thing is, like, if your partner or my partner was in a room with a bunch of people and saying racist, hurtful things, we might not be saying and we might not agree, but we're still, at the end of the day, either supporting or not supporting that person.
Yeah.
But I also think that it's a little bit of a online take to do an open letter to Taylor Swift telling her to stop dating Matty Healy.
Yeah, and it's also just like, you know, has anyone been on Phoebe Bridges' ass for being best friends with him?
I was thinking that the other day too. Yeah.
Like, it's just a very interesting, complex kind of topic, I think. But I agree with you with that in the sense that, like, we also are, like, holding Taylor Swift to an expectation, which celebrities do need to be held to a certain level of expectation because they have a lot of influence, but at the same time, they're celebrities. We don't actually know what their lives are like.
Yeah.
You know, we don't even know if they're for real dating.
Yeah. I'm still pretty convinced that if they're dating, like, it's very casual. Or,
yeah.
Like, I cannot imagine Taylor Swift and Matty Healy working out. Sorry. He gives me such an ick. Just on I don't really know, like, much about him in terms of, like, more than, like, I've seen some TikToks of him performing on stage.
Mm.
There was about 3 days where I thought that he might be attractive, and I thought he would be attractive, and I swiftly got the ick after that.
Yeah. I've got another long one for you. Oh,
you love the long ones.
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a dilemma that I would really like your take on. It's about my relationship with my boyfriend of 10 years. We live together. My boyfriend and I have always had a healthy relationship. It has its problems like all others, but we usually work things out. However, lately he has been texting this girl from his work a lot, and he occasionally drives her home after work. Usually I don't like to be the jealous type of girlfriend that doesn't let her boyfriend have female friends, but it's really been bothering me how much they text each other. She also asks him to do things like order stuff from Amazon for her because she apparently doesn't know how to. He hasn't changed his attitude towards me or anything like that, and he also doesn't hide that he's texting her, but I don't know what to do. I don't want to bring it up and be the crazy jealous girlfriend, but I also don't want to live in this state of anxiety.
Okay, I just want to quickly say she knows how to use Amazon. I'm not trying to be a bitch, but this random work girl, sorry. She's either trying to, like, talk to this guy more, or she's trying to use his Amazon Prime, which, to be fair, go for your life, girl, because that shit's expensive. And if someone's already paying for it, you get that next day delivery.
Yeah.
I kind of don't buy that part.
Okay.
Do you?
I don't know. I didn't really think about it till you said it.
I'm just like, who at this late stage doesn't know how to use Amazon? It's an online store.
Yeah.
I think that two things can be true here,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm not saying that this isn't potentially a problem, The part where you said he hasn't changed the way he is towards you, the way that he's not hiding it, like he's kind of just like, he's just doing these things. He's just texting this girl. Mm-hmm. He's driving her home every now and then. That makes me think that maybe he is genuinely just being friendly.
I agree.
And I think at the same time, you don't have to feel shame for being a quote unquote jealous girlfriend. I think the word crazy doesn't need to be in here mm-hmm. because you're not acting crazy. If you were acting quote unquote crazy, you'd be yelling and screaming at him and having a go at him instantly yes. for doing something like this without even considering whether it was rational mm-hmm. or not.
Mm-hmm.
So jealousy is like an inevitable part of a relationship.
Absolutely.
We label it so shamefully and mm-hmm. so negatively, but when you love someone and you're in a monogamous relationship and you're a human with feelings and emotions,
you're gonna get jealous.
Yeah. It's the same. It happens in friendships as well.
Yeah.
It happens in family dynamics. Like, of course it's going to happen in romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think that, yeah, both things can be true. Like, potentially this just needs to be a conversation of like, hey, it's making me like a little bit like jealous. Like, I'm not accusing you of anything, but can you maybe just like talk to me about it, make me understand it a bit more, that kind of thing. And that conversation will probably be a bit more telling than what you can just assume based on what you're seeing and hearing in snippets. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that gender does play an interesting role here because, and you know, I feel this too, like I don't get jealous of my boyfriend's male friends, but I'll get jealous of my boyfriend's female friends, even though they're platonic as hell, like, you know, and it's like, because he's attracted to women only, and so I'm like, okay, well, I have a reason to be jealous, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We just naturally have this thing in like relationships, I think we've been taught to be jealous of people if they are the gender that your partner is attracted to.
Yeah.
And you know, I can think like I have many, many male friends and I've had many male friends in the past who I've just been friends with, but they've been like my best, closest friends. And I've had partners be jealous and like genuinely I'm like, you do not need to worry about a thing at all. And I'm being 100% genuine. And I think it's just this weird thing that we're just not used to yet. We are, you know, especially even when you think about like when you watch TV shows and movies and stuff like that, whenever someone meets someone else in a show or a movie, they end up like cheating on their partner or whatever. We're conditioned to believe that that's going to happen. But I think that we really have to, you know, have an open conversation if we are feeling a certain type of way. But at the end of the day, remind ourselves that like we can trust our partner and really like, based on like, I don't trust her with her Amazon weird thing.
Now that I've pointed it out to you, you're like, actually, that is weird.
Yeah, I'm like, that's so interesting. But I do trust him based on the fact that he's so open with you and hasn't changed his behavior or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, trust me, I can tell the signs of cheating. And these are not some.
We've got an expert over here. No, I think especially because you guys have been together for 10 years, like, this is a, like, 10 years is such a long time. Imagine if we'd been with someone for 10 years at this point. That's crazy. Like, you, A, should be able to talk to them about this. Like, B, like, this is going to come up. If jealousy hasn't come up in 10 years, that's a fucking great track record.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, like, you know, if you've got a healthy and communicative relationship, if you just bring it up, you don't have to, like, I think we always think that bringing stuff up is going to be, like, a confrontation or, like, an accusation. Just because you're jealous, it doesn't have to be an accusation on him. You can say, like, I'm feeling this and I'm not accusing you of doing anything. It's just bringing up these emotions. Can we talk about it?
Yeah.
And it doesn't – and, like, you know, hopefully he doesn't get defensive if you do it in a very, like, you know, gentle way that's being open about the fact that it's – you're recognizing that it might be nothing.
Yeah.
But you're still allowed to communicate your feelings even if it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think go from there because if it is nothing, hopefully that conversation will make you feel better.
Yeah. For sure.
Okay, so our next question is, I've been friends with a person for 5 years now. The first 4 years of our friendship were the best. She was literally my pillar and I was hers. Everything was fine until one day I found out that she had told all of her friends every single detail about me, including what I discussed about therapy and my sexuality, which I wasn't sure about and definitely didn't want the world to know. I found this out when she and her friends were drunk and I was shook. She didn't even try explaining or contacting me until 15 days after the incident. And then she just said, I don't know how they know. I didn't tell them. Cut to 1 year later, I've completely cut her off because the friendship started becoming a burden. She still lied a lot, didn't text or call me till I did, and treated me like shit. Now I feel guilty about not being friends with her, but she didn't even try keeping me in her life. I miss her so much. What should I do? How do you, mm-hmm. what's your initial thoughts on that one?
So my initial thoughts are, first of all, I want you to acknowledge the fact that you were the one that was treated super unfairly here. And it can be really, really hard missing someone who treated you unfairly. It's like one of the most complex emotions I think I've ever felt, because you're like, you don't want to miss them. And you don't want to miss their presence.
Yeah,
in
but
your
the
life.
Emotions are still there.
Yeah, and I think in the way that we can romanticize previous romantic relationships and think about all the good times and not the bad, we can do the same with friendship as well.
Absolutely. This goes back to the, like, I guess, like, age-old thing of, like, this is a friendship breakup, which we never talk about, but it actually can in a lot of ways, especially if it's a super close, super intimate friendship.
Yeah.
It can mimic what happens in a relationship breakup. And honestly, like, I mean, you said it's been a year. This kind of happens with people in, like, romantic relationship breakups as well. They break up, they're feeling pretty confident about it. They're, like, feeling maybe a bit angry, and that's fueling them to not want to talk to the people anymore.
Yeah.
And then over time, like, maybe you feel a bit lonely, or maybe you're realizing that, like, you know, all the things, your life has changed a lot since you've, you know, cut this person out of your life. So you start thinking about the friendship, and you start thinking about it through rose-colored glasses, because it's, you know, the nice things you're remembering, not the ones where she treated you like shit and she told other people about your most private moments.
Yeah.
So I completely agree with you, Ducky. Like, it's normal, but it doesn't mean that you've done the wrong thing, that you need to feel guilty. And that, I think the fact that she didn't, you know, try and reach out and say, hey, like, I miss you, or like, I want to make this right, or I want to apologize and I want to make it better, shows that maybe she's not worthy of being in your life. And even that in itself is a hard thing to accept.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with you. And I think that even though it's really hard with you asking, what should I do in this situation? My honest advice to you is that you should not reach out and you should continue working through how this relationship has made you feel, whether that be talking to other close people in your life about it, going to therapy and talking about it in that way. Because like Kara said, it is like a romantic relationship in the way when you're so close to someone, and you didn't deserve to be treated this way. You were the one who was treated unfairly, and then you've been the one that's been made to feel crappy because, like, you miss her, sort of thing, if that makes sense. Not to say that she wouldn't miss you, but I think that in this situation, like, you need to prioritize yourself, and the best thing for yourself, actually, even though the instant gratification of her maybe texting you back being like, I miss you too, could be really good, you actually working through this and moving forward and finding friends who are actually going to treat you the way you deserve to be treated will be better for your long-term well-being.
Completely agree. Yeah.
Okay, here's our next one. So I was dating this guy for 4 or 5 months, but he refused to call me his girlfriend.
Red flag number one. Sorry, say no more.
He also refused to go to the gym with me because it's cringe. And he used to have posters on his bedroom walls of models. I brought it up with him as it made me uncomfortable and insecure, especially when we were going to be intimate. He was a seaplane pilot and photographer, so the posters were models on his seaplane.
Wait. First of all, we're not only halfway through this submission. So he took these photos?
That's the vibe that I'm getting, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, continue.
I brought up these things that made me question our connection, and he said that he would never change. We dated for a few more months until I couldn't bear it with him anymore, so I broke it off with him. He didn't say a single word in this conversation, and then I was on my way. Long story short, but my main question is, how do you feel about posters on your partner's walls? Is this still a thing in your mid-20s?
Okay.
I had to include this question.
I'm quite, like, I'm not too sure if I'm going to be a massive bitch.
To who?
To this man, obviously.
Oh, that's fine.
Not to this listener.
I was worried you were going to be like, it's fine to have posters on your walls. I'd be like,
If my boyfriend had posters of naked women on his walls at the age of 29, I would be getting the ick.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to say that, like, that's the case for every boyfriend or every, like, partner or every person, but, like, I think the biggest thing for me here is that he said he'd never change.
I agree. That's the thing. You can have things, like, you can have parts of yourself that you don't want to change and that are 100% deal breakers for you. Like,
yeah,
if you really want it to be having posters on your wall. And also, he refused to call you his girlfriend, refused to go to the gym with you because it's cringe. You know what's cringe? Having fucking posters on your wall of models on seaplanes.
So cringe.
I'm so sorry.
I'm also kind of like, a seaplane pilot is an ick. I don't know why, but it just
You're like,
is.
Be a real pilot.
It's seaplanes and a real plane. Anyway. How do we feel about posters on our partner's walls? I also just want to quickly say, like, good on you for breaking it off with him, because I really thought this was going in the direction of, should I break it off with him? What do you think? Like, is this okay? And I was going to be like, how do we say to this girl that this guy is an absolute no?
Yeah.
But you just want to know how we feel about posters on our partner's walls. And I think that, you know, everyone has their interests.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Personally, if my partner wanted to have naked women, especially naked women that he took the photos of, presumably, on his wall, it would be a no from me.
Yeah.
And look, maybe some girls would be fine with that. I'm not like that. I'm not that cool. I'm not that flippant and that nonchalant. Get the fucking naked girls off your wall. I don't want to see them unless they're me.
I agree with Kara. And I also think, like, I'm coming from the perspective of living with my boyfriend now. I'm like, can you imagine in our fucking room if he tried to put any shit like that up? I'm like, no.
Can you imagine if when he moved in, he brought his, like, he unrolled his posters of naked girls on seaplanes?
I'd be like, babe, what's going on here?
Well, he works outside, so it'd be like a naked girl on a tree.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a no. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
That's what we have to say about that.
Yeah. Okay, so I actually responded to this one because I saw it and I was like, this is some tea. This girl said, I wanted to share my thoughts on how often the term, does that make sense, has come up. I say it myself and I'm trying to correct it and allow others to let me know if I'm not clear, instead of assuming I'm not articulating myself or the other person isn't getting where I'm coming from. Would love to hear your thoughts on this. So what I originally said to this girl in reply to the message, I said, this is so funny that you mentioned that, because I saw this message after I'd just edited an episode of the podcast, and I know that I say it so much. So much. And I was noticing it. And I thought to myself, this is an insecurity thing. This is a thing where I feel like I've said too much. I've, you know, said something silly. I've said something stupid. People aren't going to agree with me. Maybe I'm not articulate. And so I say, does that make sense? And it's does that make sense? Not only is, like, I guess, a way to get validation, but it's almost like a way to say, oh, I know that I'm probably not making sense, but it's like, you know, I know it. So like, you know, don't judge me, kind of thing. Yes. Does that make sense?
yes, it makes sense. I think it's a validation thing. I think it's just like not wanting to feel alone in a feeling or a thought that we're having. And I think that it totally makes sense that we ask for this validation, you know? And I can feel myself about to say, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because we want so much to be right and to be heard and to be understood. I think that's just a part of being human. But I think as well, we know that these days we live in a society where we don't want to be an outcast. We want to feel like we're understood even more so. And I think that the easiest way to get that instant validation and gratification is me being like, Kara, I've been thinking about how I really think that royal blue is a nicer color than turquoise. Does that make sense to you? Do you agree? Like, you know what I mean? It's like feeling like you need...
Is my opinion valid? Am I saying the right things right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think, well, I'm interested in the idea of, you know, potentially it being something that women might do more. Because as we know, you know, there's a big conversation around women who say, oh, sorry. Like, sorry all the time. I do that all the fucking time. All the time. And I actually have been trying to stop doing it as much because I think that it diminishes my power and my respect for myself because I don't need to be sorry for things all the time.
Yeah.
And I also don't need to be asking if this makes sense all the time because, like this person said, such a good point. If something doesn't make sense, it's up to someone else to tell you.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to just, like, say your thoughts and say your opinion and, you know, accept a response the way it comes. You don't have to constantly be feeling for whether it's landing correctly.
Yeah.
And I just really I really appreciated that she messaged us this because I do think that it's something that a lot of people would probably relate to.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next question is, how can I navigate feeling like a failure because I switched up my career multiple times since I finished college? I studied journalism, but after 2 years of working as a journalist, I changed my career path, and I've done that every 2 years since. I am once again thinking of changing my career back to something in the writing field, as I'm just not happy and not 100% sure about my current job and what I want to do for the rest of my life. Have either of you felt like this before?
Is this you?
It could be me. This could be me. Yeah. I've always done like writing adjacent things, but like I said before, you know, it's been studied journalism, did something like, you know, journalism adjacent. Like, it's just like constantly been like, you know, not quote unquote exactly what I dreamed of.
Yeah.
And honestly, yes, I have felt like a failure before. I have felt like a failure. I felt like a failure when I stopped freelance writing. I felt like a failure when I went from my, well, I was, sorry, scared of being a failure when I went from my full-time job to freelance writing. Like, it's so easy in a world that puts so much emphasis on, like, finding the best career or, like, a successful career to, like, be doubting yourself all the time. But we also spend so much time at work, it makes sense that we're wanting to enjoy what we're doing.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
That's pretty much
it.
I totally agree with you. And I think I have also felt this way. And I was actually talking to a friend the other day, and I was saying to her, like, I don't think that I have a career at all. Like, I work a job right now, but like, I don't know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I've got no idea. I've changed what I've done. Like, guys, I'm not joking. I've had like 24 jobs in my life.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I think I'm like wondering, like, is a career a hindsight thing almost?
This is what I've been thinking about, right? Because would you say you have a career right now?
I would say that I have had a career, but I had like a bit of a professional break in between because like I didn't do something directly writing related for 3 years.
Yeah, two and
a half years.
Okay.
But I would say I have a career in that I always, at this point at least, I always want to be doing something writing, and I can envision myself doing it, but it's not like a career trajectory. Mm. It's not a, I'm going to be doing X, Y, and Z, and here's a path and here's a ladder I'm climbing. It's just my career is in the creative field.
Mm.
And I would have said that for you as well before you said you don't have a career. I would have said, you know, you have a career. It's in the creative industry.
Mm.
But, like, obviously that's completely up to you to define.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting because I don't think I have a career. I think that I, like, you know, work in this industry. But, for example, if I stopped doing YouTube and I stopped working for the people I work for right now, there is no way I would get a full-time job in social media.
Like, why?
Because I would not enjoy it.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant you couldn't. I was like, you absolutely could.
Oh, I could. But, like, if everything came crashing down with what I'm doing right now, I would start a new industry. And I understand the feeling of like feeling like a failure and feeling like worried that people are judging you and stuff like that, because even when I was like going between all those random jobs, yes, they were all in similar kind of industries, but I felt this shame that like people were going to be judging me for that. But I think with work, we need to remember like work is where we spend the bulk amount of time in our week. We need that to be a space where we feel some sort of joy. And that's the most important thing.
I'm going to actually say something that I just thought of. I think career is a classist term, not in its literal definition, but in the way that we have been taught to perceive it.
Mm.
Because if you have someone, and this is not me saying this is in any capacity a job that's any less worthy than others, but, you know, if we think of someone like you who worked in hospitality for many, 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 many years before you started doing your own stuff on social media, that's, in my mind, that's a career. That like, some people do that their whole lives because they love it, because they want to, for many different reasons.
Yeah.
It, like, that would, I think, hit the definition of a career. Like, you know, working in an industry for many years and, like, kind of building experience and building skill and potentially, you know, assuming that they build up onto, like, the level of, like, management or whatever you're on. But I think we don't reserve career for those roles because we reserve career for more of the more well-to-do industries, the industries that we think have more value.
Yes.
So it's like if you say career to me, I think of like a lawyer or a doctor.
So do I.
I think of those very...
And it's such a social construct in that way, isn't it?
But like it's almost like we think of the industries where there is, at least to my knowledge, I'm not a lawyer or doctor in case you guys didn't know, a very set trajectory.
Mm.
Like a doctor and a lawyer and stuff, they go to school, like you kind of go on this path.
Work your way up. Yeah.
And obviously there's different branches, but it's generally like a very clear cut kind of path.
Maybe that's why I can't see my job as a career, because I'm like, where does it go from here?
Well, because you're defining your own career.
Yeah.
And I guess for me, it might feel a bit similar, because even though when I think about, like, I would never say like my career, but I think that I'm trying to be fair with myself and say like it is a career, because even though, you know, being a writer can go on a billion different tangents, mm-hmm. and like it might not be on the same page as everything, like it's still a skill that I'm using in every one of my jobs.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of makes it a career to me.
Mm-hmm.
So what's this person's question even?
Have either of you felt this way?
Yes, we felt this way. And I think that, you know, there's something to be said on the whole, like, you know, if you're maybe finding that you're changing every 2 years, like potentially, you know, is it a insecurity thing? Is it a not finding the right fit type of thing in a job's like a environment scenario? But at the end of the day, it also could just be that we are in a world that's very different to what it used to be. Like our parents were much more likely to work at one job, like 10, 20, 30 years.
Mm.
That is not the world we live in now. Not only because we have more freedom, but also because fucking work cultures suck.
Yes.
And we understand that now. We acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And I think it's very normal. Well, I know it's very normal that people change jobs several times throughout their life.
Mm.
And that's expected. And I don't think there's any shame in that. So you need to be happy at work. And I think that as long as you're making decisions and changes that reflect that, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, let's move on to our last question.
Let's.
I got drunk and I made out with my best friend.
Oh, okay. See, for some reason, I've not read this question. So this is like completely new to me. Didn't realize we were going here. Let's go.
Since then, he no longer wants to speak to me at all. He told me that it's not about me, it's a him issue. But now it's been 3 months and I'm still hung up on the fact that I never got closure about it. I'm still really hurting. Is it reasonable for me to request a conversation with him or to bring his attention to the fact that this has hurt me? It just doesn't make sense to me that we were so close and now he doesn't even seem to care about how he has made me feel. I feel like I deserve better.
Well, I think we want to start by saying that, like, you have every right to try and communicate with someone and tell them how you feel if they made you feel a certain way.
Yes.
I think, like, you don't need to wonder whether that's an okay thing for you to do, because you're allowed to ask for that.
Yeah. I think we can confidently say as well that you do deserve better than this. I kind of had a theory when I was reading this.
I'm wondering whether our theories are similar. You go first.
No, you go first. Should we say it on the count of three?
Yes.
Okay.
One, two, three. He's scared.
He likes you. Oh.
Well, that's kind of where I was going. Like, he's scared because he likes you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do want to say we don't want to mind read.
No, we don't want to mind read. We've literally read a paragraph. And we're like, oh, we think we know.
And also, like, this person hasn't spoken to him. So, like, she doesn't know. And, like, you know, it's very easy to, like, get caught up in these ideas of, like, oh, my God, maybe he really likes me and stuff like that. But it's interesting to me that you made out and then nothing.
Yeah.
And maybe he was like, oh, my God, like, I can't, the vulnerability, I'm scared, I like this person. Yeah. Like
Or maybe he's feeling scared to just be able to communicate that he doesn't want to make out ever again.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, potentially. Yeah.
It's a very interesting thing because it's like, I've done this.
Yeah.
Remember when I was like 18 and I made out with my best friend, 17, and I made out with my best friend who I'd had a crush on for 4 years, and then he told me it was like kissing his sister.
Didn't realize you'd kissed your sister.
Drag him. He's on reality TV now. Anyway, what's our point?
You were saying that you've made out with your friends drunk before.
Look, people make out with their friends when they're drunk sometimes. And it doesn't have to be like a huge song and dance. Like, yeah, maybe it can be like a little bit awkward. But the fact that he's gone full radio silence is so bizarre to me. It means that it either freaked him out because he was like, do you like me? Maybe I don't like you, blah, blah, blah. Or it's freaked him out the other way. I just feel like, yes, it's very reasonable for you to request a conversation with him. And he needs to be honest with you about what's going through his mind.
I think especially because you were best friends for so long. And like, it apparently, based off this question, it sounds like literally right after that, he's ghosted you essentially.
Yeah.
Like, I think as best friends with someone, you owe them an explanation. And even if that explanation is, I feel really uncomfortable now, I wish we didn't do that, and I feel weird about the friendship, like, that might be a really hard thing for both of you to come to terms with.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't mean that he has the right to leave you in the dark and just kind of, like, literally ghost you
for it.
So you requesting, like, just any kind of closure, like, what happened, can you just let me know, and telling him how you felt is totally, totally rational and within reason. And look, I honestly, based on what he's already done, I don't know if he's going to give you anything.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like he's quite avoidant, but there's no harm in trying. And if he doesn't give you an explanation, I feel like you're going to learn. You're going to have to, like, come to terms with maybe the fact that he might be different to what you thought he was.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a hard situation regardless, but it probably needs to happen if you need closure.
Yeah, for sure. All right. I think that brings us to the end of today's unprofessional opinion episode.
And the last unprofessional opinions episode ever. What a moment.
I'm having quite a moment right now. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode, and thank you for enjoying our unprofessional opinions episodes for the past few years. Also, thank you for submitting your things for unprofessional opinions. We literally could not do it without you. So thank you so much. We appreciate it a lot. We've got two more episodes of To Be Honest, the podcast coming to you. And if you are ever interested in checking out bonus episodes, because you're going to miss us in your ears so very much, we have a Patreon, which has like over 40 bonus episodes on it at this point, I believe. So you can check that out via the link in the description of this podcast.
Yes. As always, friends, we'll be back in your ears next week.
Don't miss it. See you there. Bye. Love ya. Bye.